الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. أسلم التوبة والمغفرة والهداية إنه هو التواب الرحيم. وعفو عنا يا كريم وعفو عنا يا كريم وعفو عنا يا كريم واغفر لنا بفضلك يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ملك يا قدوس يا حافظ يا الله الأول يا الله الآخر يا الله الظاهر يا الله الباطن يا الله خيره وشره من الله تعالى. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيد الأولين والآخرين. اشكرنا يا شفيع المذنبين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. قال الله تعالى في كتاب العزيز أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يريد الله بكم اليسرى ولا يريد بكم العسرى. صدق الله العظيم. الله تعالى says in Surah Baqarah when he is describing the dispensations during the month of Ramadan, Allah desires ease for you and desires not hardship for you. And Surah Nisa, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah desires to make your burden light for mankind is created weak. We have entered the holy 3 months of Rajab, Shaban and Ramadan. Many of us already started fasting a few days before Ramadan and made special prayers during special holidays. There is a tendency, especially when the whole year we are amiss in our worship, some of us exaggerate, especially during the month of Ramadan, to show off and really to more or less outdo other Muslims in their attempts of fasting and praying. Allah Ta'ala gives us dispensation. If we are too old, too weak, too sick, or if we are traveling, we are permitted not to fast and we can make it up another time. There we are permitted to shorten our prayer if we are traveling. And some of us, including myself, especially in modern times, if you go to, I don't know, Puerto Rico, you know, a few hours by plane, but certainly far enough to be safari, and you are having great time, I mean, you're swimming and eating and everything else, and it somehow bothers me to shorten my prayer. But I do. Because when I was young, and precisely when I asked my Sheikh this situation, for instance, Turkey is my own country. So I go from America to Turkey, and I'm safari. And I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to my own country. You understand what I mean? So, but when I ask my Sheikh, it would be insulting Allah Ta'ala that He gives you a gift, and it's like telling Him, you can keep your gift. I'm not taking it. So let us not, when we are remiss and we take it easy the whole year, just because those three holy months of Shaban and Rajab and Ramadan are here, let us not exaggerate, let us not show off, and let us not somehow outdo our brothers in Islam. It is extremely important, because it becomes hypocritical, and it really cancels, your effort. There is something in Islam which is called the economy of deeds. Any kind of exaggeration in any kind of any good deed is really not very good. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ashab Kiram used to go to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask the wives, what does Rasulullah do as worship? Hazrat Anas ibn Malik, you know who he is, reports that when men would come and hear from Rasulullah's wives and the household that Rasulullah worshipped like us. And he prayed the sunnah and the fard, and he fasted and he broke fast. He did what any good Muslim is doing today. But when those people at those days heard this, they said, oh well, of course. I mean, he is the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. He's been shown his place in paradise, and he has got his precedent, and he has got his future. But we are common men, so we have to do more than he does. So one of them said, I will all my life spend all my evenings in praying. And the other one said, I will fast the whole year through. Another one said, I will have nothing to do with women. I'm not going to get married. And I'm going to stay a celibate. And when this was reported to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who are the people who said these words? We are the ones, Ya Rasulullah, may my mother and father be your sacrifice. And we indeed are intent to do what we say. He said, no. You are going to fast, you are going to break fast. You are going to pray, and you are going to sleep. And whatever Allah Ta'ala said, and whatever I am doing, you will do the same. otherwise, he said, you are not one of us. I think I have told you before, the story of Hazrat Salman al-Farsi and Hazrat Ebu Derda. Hazrat Ebu Derda was precisely one of those who were absolutely very, very, very zealous, you know, in his worship. And Hazrat Salman al-Farsi is the father of the Sufis. So Rasulullah made them sharik, make them brothers, make them together, put them together, that they were supposed to be together. One day, Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu an, went to the house of Ebu Derda, knocked on the wall, on the door. The mother of Ebu Derda opened the door and she was in rags. And she said, mother, what's the matter with you? So why are you sort of dressed so in rags? And, oh, she said, your brother Ebu Derda has totally abandoned the world, so we have nothing to eat, nothing to drink, nothing to dress in the house. So he enters the house, and it was time to eat. So Ebu Derda came with little food for his mother and for Salman al-Farsi. He said, eat. What about you, said Salman al-Farsi? I am fasting. He said, no. It is not Ramadan, it's not Shaban, it's not Rajab. You are not fasting. You are going to eat with us. He forced him to break his fast. So the night came, they are going to sleep. So Ebu Derda said, you go ahead and sleep. What about you? I am going to pray the whole night. No, you're not. He said, you're going to sleep with us. He forced him to sleep. And in the morning prayer, he made him wake up for the morning prayer. And he was furious, Ebu Derda, in the morning. And he said, Ya Ebu Derda, Allahu Ta'ala has rights on you. Your mother and your family has rights on you. Your body has rights on you. And you have to keep all those rights. Ebu Derda rushed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained about Hazrat Salman al-Farsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salman was right. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the Masjid Nabi in Medina Munawwara, and he saw a rope hanging from the ceiling with a bar at the end of it. And he said, what is this? Ya Rasulullah, this is what our sister Zainab, who is sort of fat and her knees are bad like mine, and she makes her prayers, and as she cannot get up, she holds on to this and pulls herself up. He said, please take it off and tell her that she can make her prayers sitting down. And finally, there was a mullah in a madrasa. That mullah never missed a prayer and never missed a morning prayer. Then one day, he did his duties, he studied his lessons. You know, they had those tiny rooms, cells, in the madrasa. And he made his prayers and he locked the door and he went to sleep. And almost the sun is coming up. Somebody shook him up, get up, get up, get up! You know, you are going to miss your morning prayer. He got up, and it was sort of getting light. He went, ablution, made his prayer. And he said, wait a second, the door is closed. Who woke me up? And he looks up, Shaitan lying with a big smile on his face. He said, who are you? I am the Shaitan, says he. Did you wake me up for morning prayer? Oh, yes, indeed, I did, he said. I said, well, why did you? I thought that you prevented people from making prayer. Oh, no, he said. Oh, no. If I wouldn't have woken you up, you regret having missed that prayer. Would have been worth 1,000 prayers, he said. That's why I woke you up for your prayer. Like everything else, ibadallah, our nafs ammara, our private shaitan in us, especially in holy months and holy days like that, pushes us, knowing that he cannot make us, prevent us from making our duties as Muslims. On the contrary, sometimes pushes us to overdo it. To overdo it, to show to people what a great Muslim we are. To the extent that we ignore our family, we ignore our duties to the society. And we sort of divorce the people around us. And we make our prayers and we fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of men is the one who is good to others. If you wish to excel in the eye of Allah Ta'ala during the month of Ramadan, try to educate your nafs. Try to be kinder and gentler, more considerate, more loving, more forgiving, more generous. And learning more about the truth of your religion, rather than doing excess in your praise, mostly done unconsciously and mostly done to show to others that you are a good Muslim. I am warning you and I am warning myself. That anything which one does above and over what the beloved of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has done, and whatever Allah Ta'ala has prescribed us to do, will probably be recorded as negative rather than positive in our favor. Ya Rabbi, you have blessed us with Islam. You have blessed us with Iman. You have put everything down which we need to know in the Quran al-Kareem. And for the ones who do not understand, you have chosen from amongst us a being who looks like us. But the difference is between the rock and the jewel. Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who thought none other than what you made him think, who felt none other than what you made him feel, who said and did none other than what you made him say and do as an example for us. Ya Rabbi, through your Quran al-Azim and through the one who you have sent as our Prophet, teach us the truth of Islam.
Amen. Amen.
And give us the strength to act according to the truth of Islam.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, who has created us in the beautiful shape of the human being from a drop of dirty water. We were hungry, you fed us. We were nude, you clothed us. We didn't know how to walk or how to talk. You taught us how to walk and how to talk. And you have given us two devoted servants from the moment that we came to this realm, who have devoted their lives to take care of us, our parents. You gave us everything what we need before we even knew that we needed it. We cannot possibly count your gifts, although we certainly are not worthy for them. But your greatest gift is the Iman which gave us, is the Islam which gave us, is Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your beloved, who you have given us as an example, as our teacher, as our protector, and as our intercessor. For all those gifts, Ya Rab, we cannot thank you, and we have not thanked you enough. Ya Rabbi, teach us thankfulness.
Amen.
And make us able to thank you for your gifts.
Amen.
And seldom you test us, you test our love for you, our faith for you, our obedience to you, not that you know not, but that we know ourselves. You test us with little pain, little sickness, little hunger, little poverty, taking away from us things which we think are our own, which in reality are yours. And Narab, although you say, Inna Allahu ma'a sabirin, that you are side by side with the one who shows patience, although you say patience is the key to paradise, we never show patience. Ya Rabbi, teach us patience.
Amen.
And give us the strength to show patience.
Amen.
And count us amongst your patient servants.
Amen.
آمين بسم الله سيدنا المرسلين تعالى ياسين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد المغفرة المروان أصحاب الأسرار ذكر الرجدان تستقبل الفرقدان تبرك بروحاه وأرواح أهل بيته من التحيات والسلام تبارك وسلم عليه كثيرا 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 وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى بجميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأولياء والصالحين وعلى ملائكتك والمقربين وعلى أهل ساعتك أجمعين من أهل السماوات وأهل الأرضين ورضوان الله تعالى على آل رسول الله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.